Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Tonight we will deal with verses 6 through 7. 6 and 7. Isaiah 53. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful and thankful for the privilege that you've given us to come back tonight. Thank you for those who have come and are faithful. Pray, God, that you would bless them, and God, that you would meet their needs, encourage their hearts, strengthen their souls by your word tonight. May we who are in Christ rejoice in the prophecy of Isaiah of the coming of Christ. And may we rejoice in what we have in him, what he has accomplished for us. And may we rest in him and rejoice. We pray, God, that you would speak to us tonight. Give us understanding of your word. And help us. In Christ's name, amen. We're looking at Isaiah 53, which is a prophetic writing of the coming Messiah, written 700 years before he comes. But if you read Isaiah 53, there's no doubt that us knowing historical accounts and the New Testament know that this person that Isaiah writes about is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we have begun just going through this chapter, looking at what Isaiah prophesies of the coming Christ, seeing how that matches up historically with what we know about Christ, and rejoicing in this is him. So let's read the chapter again. Isaiah begins in verse number 1, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. All God's people said, amen. I thought, as we move through this chapter slowly as we have, it seems like we're talking about Christ every Sunday night, which is good, right? And I thought, well, how are the people going to receive hearing Christ every Sunday night and talking about His death and His substitution, His sacrifice, and these events that led up to His atonement for us? And when I thought about that, I thought about that song. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else would do. And then when it comes to the end of that song, it says, I love to tell the story for those who know it best. You folks know it best. You seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I've loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. I pray we would never get tired of hearing the story of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's look here. Last week we looked at Jesus Christ as He is presented to us as our substitute. And tonight we look at Isaiah presenting to us Christ as our sacrifice. So we want to begin here looking at these two verses of Scripture, verse 6 and verse 7. And I want to say some things, firstly, about the sinful condition of the people. The sinful condition of the people. It is impossible for us to talk about Christ, His death, and His atonement without also considering those for whom He came to die for. Was Christ going to the cross? Was Christ going to become a substitute and a sacrifice for people who were innocent of all sins? Was He going to die for an innocent people? Was He going to die for good people? Was He going to come and die on the cross and be embraced by people? Find an obedient people? Find a welcoming people? No. He was going to come and make atonement for sinful people. So here's what Isaiah says. He says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now, is that true? It is true. That's the condition of humanity. That's my condition and your condition before we came to Christ. Say amen. So Isaiah makes a comparison here. He compares humanity to sheep. And that's done throughout the Bible, isn't it? Christ is compared to the shepherd, and we are His sheep. So that's a metaphor that goes throughout the Bible. But here Isaiah says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. And so there are two things here that I want to bring to your attention. The first is that this comparison is corporate in nature. It is a corporate comparison. Like sheep, the entirety of the people have gone astray. All humanity has gone astray. There's something the same about all of humanity, right? Which brings us to our second truth to notice. They are all what they are, or we are all what we are, by nature. Sheep are what? Sheep. And sheep sound like sheep. They look like sheep. They smell like sheep. Because they are sheep by nature. People are sinners, and sinners act like sinners by nature. And as sheep are consistent to their nature, so are we consistent to our nature. It is the nature of sheep to do what? To wander away. A shepherd can put sheep in a beautiful pasture. And if he turns his back, the sheep will have their heads through the fence trying to get away. Sheep just naturally are prone to wander. They're not naturally satisfied to stay with the shepherd. They stray naturally. And what Isaiah says is that humanity is like sheep. They're prone to stray. They're prone not to be satisfied. They're prone by nature to stray away. Not only have we by nature gone astray, but Isaiah here says that we have individually actually sinned as well. He says we have not only by nature gone astray, but we have everyone turned to his own way. Not only have we received the sinful nature from Adam, but because we have the sinful nature, we all turn to our own ways. Sheep wander off, not in groups, they wander off by themselves, each going their own way. They follow that internal impulse that leads them away from all that is safe and secure and helpful. There's something in sheep that causes them to wander. And then they actually wander. They go their own way. And Isaiah says, every man, woman, boy, and girl, every one of us have gone our own way. We've done our own thing, and it was without God. So every one of us, all of humanity, are guilty sinners by nature and by choice. Say amen. By nature we're sinners, and by choice. We, like sheep, are a danger to go astray, and we choose our own way and not God's way. Every single one of us. In other words, all of us are guilty and without excuse. Now listen. That's who the Messiah comes for. Say amen. The New Testament tells us, Jesus says, I did not come for the well. I came for the sick. Say amen. He didn't come for those who are righteous. He came for those who are sinners. And so, as humanity by nature and by choice have cast themselves into sin, Jesus comes to rescue us. Jesus comes to save us. Jesus comes to deliver us from what? From sin. Notice secondly, something astonishing happens here. We like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. So I'm thinking, we're all guilty by nature and by choice, correct? We have sinned. Therefore, we deserve the punishment of sin, which is death and eternal judgment. So I'm thinking what it should say is that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath poured out his wrath on all of us. That's what it should say. Or it should read this way. Mike Belcher is like a sheep. He's gone astray. He has turned to his own way. And the Lord will pour out his wrath on him. Insert your name. That's not what Isaiah says. Isaiah presents to us a sovereign choice of God. our sinfulness, our waywardness, and our going our own way and not God's way has to be punished by God, or He's not just. You and I stand guilty before God. All of humanity stands guilty before God, and all of humanity deserves all the hell that God's wrath contains. Say amen. Like sheep are sheep, we sinners are sinners. But as I said, God does something astonishing here. He does not punish us for our guilt and sin, but He lays our sin and our guilt and our punishment on Him. It is astonishing, right? Instead of me receiving the wrath of God, it says here that the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. So what is new here for us to consider that we haven't considered up to this point in Isaiah is, who is the source of this act? Who is doing the laying of our sins on Him? And Isaiah says, it's God. God Himself takes our iniquities from us and puts them on Him. And the idea of this word iniquity is not just our sin, but it's the guilt of that sin, and it is the punishment for that sin. So God the Father takes our sin, the guilt of our sin, and the punishment that is due our sin, and takes it from us and puts it on Christ. And instead of taking His wrath out on us, instead of crushing us with His punishment that we truly deserve, He instead takes our iniquities, He takes our guilt, He takes our punishment, and He puts it on Him. That's astonishing. I hope you see that's astonishing. The question is for the original audience here is, who is Him? Who is the person who is receiving our iniquities? Who is the person that is receiving our guilt and our punishment? Is it not Christ? Is it not Jesus? Is it not the Son of God? Listen, how great is the love of the Father toward you that He would do this? That He would take your sins, He would take your guilt, He would take your punishment and put it on His own Son. How great must God love you to do that? For God the Father to crush His own Son on the cross for what I have done and for what I deserve is astonishing. That the Father would make His Son, who was perfect, a curse for me. He would make His Son a curse for me. I am the defiant, rebellious sheep. And yet, Christ will take my punishment. The innocent will be punished. The obedient will be punished so that the guilty and the sinful can go free. A guilty people who are like sheep, sinful by nature and by choice, of rejecting God and going our own way, deserving of all of the punishment that God could ever dish out, and yet God, in His sovereign choice, chooses not to punish us, but to lay our sins on Jesus and punish Him instead. And that's not because you're great, you're wonderful, you're stupendous. It's because God made a sovereign choice to kill His Son and not you. To punish His Son and not you. It is amazing. It is amazing. Number three. Not only do we see here in these two verses that Isaiah speaks of the sinful condition of his people, like sheep we've all gone astray and went our own way. By nature and by choice we are sinners, but God has made a sovereign choice. He has chosen not to punish us for our sins, but he has chosen to put our sins on Christ and then punish him for them. And then thirdly, we are presented with the sacrificial cooperation of the Lamb. He, once he had our sins put upon him, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So verse 7 is what happened to Christ because the Lord chose to put my sin on him. Because the Lord chose to put my guilt on him. Because the Lord chose to punish him instead of me. Verse 7 is what happened. This one that our sin is laid upon is oppressed. That means that he is crushed. He was afflicted. That means to be painfully wounded. He is brought as a lamb to the what? To the slaughter. Now notice what happens here. In verse number 6, we are compared to sheep. We are the sheep, right? Verse 6, right? We are the sheep who have gone astray, and each one have gone our own way. Verse 6, we are the sheep. But here in verse 7, Christ is the Lamb. Just a little play on words there by Mr. Isaiah. You're sheep. You've gone astray. You've gone your own way. And the Father, in His sovereign choice, has put your sin, your guilt, and your punishment on Christ. And He has become like us so that He can become sacrifice for us. He has become the sheep. He has become the lamb. And notice the submission of His sacrifice. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. The picture here is of a sacrificial lamb that is brought to the priest to be slaughtered. So is this one. So is Christ, who has had our iniquities laid upon Him. And as the sacrificial sheep that is brought to the priest, as the priest cuts his neck and blood pours out and is sprinkled in the Holy of Holies, so Christ submits to His own death. And He bleeds and He dies for us. When God the Father put my sins on Christ, it sealed His slaughter. Because Christ could not die a common death. He has to die the death of a sacrifice. The fulfillment of every other sacrifice made in the Old Testament, or all of those sacrifices have no effect. If Christ would have died of a heart attack, it wouldn't work. He has to die as a sacrifice. He has to be led to slaughter. And so Christ submits to His own death, and He bleeds and He dies for us. And He does all this willingly. A willing sacrifice, knowing fully well what's going to happen. When they were looking for Christ, they did not have to search long for Him. He was readily available. He was easily found. They did not have to hold him down and make him take the nails in his hands and his feet. He laid down his life willingly for us. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. That little lamb has no idea what's going to happen to him. But Jesus did. Then notice Isaiah mentions his silence. Twice we are told about his silence during this sacrifice. He opened not his mouth. As a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. There's this uneasy silence that Isaiah is bringing to our attention. Christ, who was innocent of all accusations, Christ, who did not deserve to be killed, Christ, who did not deserve to be put on a cross and to be beaten and all the things that he went through, could he not have complained? Could he not have said, I'm innocent? I'm not guilty of this? You're wrong? No complaints. No defense. No deceit. No warnings, right? Y'all going to get yours. He could have said that, couldn't he? Y'all going to get yours. No calling for help. From the Lamb of God, nothing but utter silence. He is the willing sacrifice for our sins. And when you think about our salvation, how thankful we should be that when God decreed the plan of salvation, there was one worthy to come and to die in our place. Because he was the only one worthy. And not only was he worthy to come and die, he was willing to come and die. So God says, I have this plan to save people, but it's going to require a sacrifice. It's going to require a lamb being sacrificed. And Jesus says, I'll be the lamb. And he was. The sacrificial lamb that is afflicted and oppressed and slaughtered silently and submissively because our iniquities were laid upon him. You have to understand the awfulness and the vileness of sin if it means this has to happen to pay for it. How awful sin is. If it's going to cost the Son of God his life. The language used by Isaiah here is the language of the gospel. This is the gospel. And I know in our day, a lot of people want to talk about Christ and they want to talk about believing in Christ and talking about accepting Jesus as your Savior and letting Jesus take over your life, whatever that is. But the language of true salvation is the language of Isaiah 53. When the Jews and the Gentiles alike, them and that generation, and you and I in this generation, when we look at Jesus Christ, when we talk about Jesus Christ, this is the Jesus Christ we have to see. The substitutionary, sacrificial lamb that dies and bleeds for us so that our sins can be forgiven. He's not a teacher. He's not even a powerful Savior, although He is a teacher and although He is certainly a Savior. But we have to see Christ and we have to tell people about Christ in the language of sacrifice. That's the operative phrase here. He is the sacrificial lamb. We have to see Him in the language of sacrifice. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We need to talk about Christ as being the one in which sins are put upon Him, and He goes to the cross, and there He sacrifices substitutionary for us. Or it's not the Christ of the gospel. This Christ is going to fix your marriage and pay your bills for you. That's not the Christ of the Bible. The Christ that came to die to deliver you from your sins, that's the Christ of the Bible. The Christ to deliver you from your addictions, that's not the Christ of the Bible. The Christ that will deliver you from your sins, that's the Christ of the Bible. Christ is the substitutionary sacrifice of God, slaughtered in silence for the sins of the world. He became a lamb that was brought to the slaughter so that sheep like you and me that have already gone astray and gone our own way, that we can be freed. And God laid the iniquities, all of our sins, all of our failures, all of our faults, all of our guilt for them, and all the punishment for them, He put it on Him so that you and I could walk scot-free. Folks, that's amazing. And if you lose the amazing of that, you've really lost something. Amen.